Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Krisus Daf Chaf Hey. We begin on Chaf Dal Ramad Beis towards the bottom, so it's three lines off the bottom at the two dots. Oshem Vaday Enikin Mechul Itma. We have learned a discussion regarding the Egla Rufa, which is the calf beheaded after they find a victim on the road. So the attacker who killed him is at large unknown. In the meantime, we bring an Egla Rufa to be Machaper on that situation. And the question is, we know that the Egla Rufa becomes Asur Bahana, it's off limits. At what point does it happen? We have a Machlekes. A Masai, at what point in the Aseres has become off limits? Rav Avnuna Amar Mechaim. Even before the Arifa takes place during its lifetime, it's already Asur. Rav Amar No, La'ach Arifa, after they do the Arifa, then it turns Asur. We understand Rava simply speaking, look, the Masa is what makes the Isser, that's when it turns into an Egla Rufa, and that's when the Isser begins. What's the trigger point of the Isser? Turn to the next topic. Amar Avianai. So Avianai told us, I heard something from my the Rebbeim, and I can't recall. Gvold, it was a sort of a boundary, a starting point, Shemati Ba, that I heard about it. Vishachachti, and I forgot. However, Vinasvin, Chavraya, Lemeima, the colleagues here are suggesting, Vinasvin, they're putting forth Lemeima to say that Yiridasa L'Nachal Eson. They're bringing down the delivery of the Egla to the Nachal Eson, the hardened ravine, which is location where they do the whole process, Esarta. So delivering it to that location is what makes it Asr. That designates it for the Egla Rufa. That begins the process and triggers the Yisr. Amar Rav Amnuna Mina Aminula. How do I know this is true, that the Yisr is activated even during the lifetime? There's none. We have a Mishnah back in Maseches Chulin. So he shechted the mother animal. He's not meant to shech the offspring on the same day. However, let's say the offspring is not an ordinary animal that you're going to eat. It's a paraduma, it's a sharhan niska, which is stoned by the bezin, it's an egla rufo. These things are not really going to be edible. So by definition, this is called a shchita, she'ena ru'i. It's not a shchita which enables it for consumption. Does it fall under the isra of don't shech mother and offspring on the same day? Well, it's a shchita, but it's not a standard shchita which enables consumption. How is it treated? It's not. Shechet paras chatas, a shechet paraduma of shar niskal, which was condemned by the bezin, which is usher to eat, and likewise ve'egla rufa. He does shchita on these. Rabbi Shimon Poiter from the Isra of Yisrael es b'nei, because according to him, it has to be a shchita ru'i la'achila, a shchita which enables it for consumption, as opposed to these which are off limits. They're usher b'hanav. Chachamim achayvin, they hold them accountable because a shchita is a shchita. Says Rav Amnuna, doesn't that prove my point that Egla Rufa is already Asur? Because why then would the Shechita not be moderate for consumption? He never did Arifa, he did Shechita. Evidently, it's because the Egla Rufa is already Asur. Once delivered to the location, hence the Shechita is not going to permit it for consumption, hence the exemption according to Rav Shimon. Perfect. Bishlem, according to me, it works out perfect. I mean, I say Mechaim, the Isra was activated while alive, Baha Plivi. Rabbi Shimon Rabban, that makes perfect. Makes a perfect understanding of the Machlokes. The Rabbi Shimon Savar Shchita She'en Ru'i Lo Yishma Shchita. He holds that this type of Shchita, which is not going to enable it for consumption, because if you're being Shaykh, it's something which is Asr, Lo Yishma Shchita, doesn't count as a Shchita regarding these matters. Rabban Amri, it does Shchita She'en Ru'i Lo Yishma Shchita. That's all good and well if the Isr is already here, even before it's beheaded. Eloi Anos Lach Arif, but if you say that the Arifa is what triggers the Isser, which didn't happen in this case, so what's the mitigating factor according to Rav Shimon? I might put to Rav Shimon, why does Rav Shimon exempt him for doing the Oisev Es Benoi? After all, it's a proper Shechita, Shechita Ru'yuhi. V'chitim Esav Rav Shimon, perhaps Rav Shimon would hold that, yeah, the Isser was not yet activated. Only the Arifa activates the Isser, but he holds that although you meant to do the Arifa from the back of the neck, but if he happens to do the Shechita on the Eglaruf, it also counts. And also gives it, you know, Eglarufa status and activates the Isser. V'chiteva, perhaps we can suggest, Sava Rabbi Shimon, Egla B'Shechita K'shera. Even if one is to do a Shechita on the Egla instead of the Arifa, it's still good. So the process has been accomplished, has been fulfilled, and that's why this Isser. That's not, but now we have a Mishnah which tells us otherwise. It has a very specific process. If you deviate, it's a failure. That's not kosher with para. So the Mishnah compares the para aduma, which needs regular shechita, to the egla, which needs arifa. What's good for this doesn't work for that, and vice versa. Each one has his own specific process. That's not kosher with para. What's good for the para, meaning the shechita, doesn't work. It's possible egla rufa, and likewise possible para, something which does not work by the para, meaning the beheading, is exactly what you need to do by the egla. Is kosher with egla rufa. And the Mishnah explains para needs b'shchita k'shera, but if you do the arifa it's psula, and exactly the opposite by the egla b'arifa it's good, k'shera b'shchita it's not good, psula. So clearly the shchita in itself should not trigger any processes, so why then is it considered off limits? Apparently because the iser was already present. Mechayim says Rav Nuna, that's a right to my position. Unlike Rabbah, who says the Isser only comes later, Ishtik, so Rabbah was silenced. Lubas said the Nafik after Rav Nuna left the Yibes Medrash, Omar, Rabbah says, oh, my time, Allah, why can't I just answer him simply? It's the Shechita that makes the Isser Hanna. Although the accepted view is that Shechita is not considered the proper procedure for the Egel Rufa, but Rav Shimon would disagree. And specifically, Rav Shimon, who holds that the Egel Rufa, who is Shecht, becomes an Egel Rufa Kasher, that's why. It's considered Shechita Shein Ariv because it's Yisar Noah starting now. The Reb Shimon Sover Eglav Shechita is Kshem. But it's not so simple. Rav Nuna, Amalach Rav Nuna would have responded. We don't find any Tana anywhere making mention of this opinion. Apparently it doesn't exist. Lo Nishtam Mitana. Why wouldn't the Tana go and clarify for us? Dishmeinan. We don't find any Tana that goes out of his way and informs us of this opinion that a egla b'shchita, if you do shchita, it is kshera. The term Rav Shimon, which would be attributed to Rav Shimon. There's no mention, apparently it doesn't exist. So since the only process that works for the egla rufa is arifa, which didn't happen in this case, so why is the shchita not permitting it for consumption? Where's the answer? Oh! That proves that the Isser precedes the Arifa. It's already there during its lifetime. I'm a Rava. On the other side of the equation, how do I know that my position, in fact, is correct? The Isser only happens by the Arifa itself. And this not. Look at our Mishnah. Egel Rufa in a cane. It's in contrast to the Yasham Tali, which was discovered to be unnecessary, where the Chacham say, look, it's still committed to the cause. It has Kedusha. Egel Rufa is different. It's only designated, you know, on condition, on account of the need. Actually, therefore, before the Arifa happened, you discover the killer. There's no need to do the Egla Rufa. Teitze, Vitirbe, to send it back to the herd, to the farm. Doesn't that prove that it doesn't have status yet? That's exactly what I said. There's no Isser yet. V'yamras Mechaim, if you're going to tell me that the Isser is already there during its life, that already has status, Amai Teitzi V'tirbeit Haki send back to the farm, Itzer Allah Mechaim, it's already Asr. Well, today we can revise the Mishnah. It doesn't mean before or after Arifa. It means like this. Before it was delivered to the location versus after delivery. That's the trigger point. Tani, we can revise the Mishnah as follows. Achaloi nearest l'Arifa. He discovered that it was unneeded before it was suitable for Arifa, meaning before it was delivered to location, because delivered to location perhaps is the trigger point. Okay, let's assume. Continues the Mishnah, Masefa, Mishnah continues Mishnah effort. If Arifa, then it was discovered to be unneeded, meaning he discovered the killer. Too late to cover him, you know, he buried it on the spot. And again, the question is, why is that dependent upon the actual Arifa? According to Rav Amnuna, The Isser was already activated once it got to the location. You don't need that Rifa for that. To me, again, we'll revise it. Mishanir is not Rifa. It doesn't mean it actually did that Rifa. It means it was suitable. It was at the location. And once that happens, there's no turning back because the Isser is already applied. Says the Gemara, Imkein Ema Sefer. If that's what the Mishnah means, contrasting pre-delivery to post-delivery, but it's still alive and well. Imkein Ema Sefer. How does that work with the next part of the Mishnah, which gives an explanation for this? You should know that although we discovered the killer, the process was a successful process. Why? Sha'al ha-safek ba-mitchil. Initially, it came to address an uncertainty, an unknown situation. Well, guess what? Kipras feik v'alchula. It did its job. When you went through the process, you were still in a state of uncertainty. So although you discovered it later, so what? Doesn't matter. It did its job. It addressed the uncertainty. What do you mean it did its job? We're talking that it's still alive and well. It just happened to be at the location. That's not considered kipra. It's not kapara. Kapara refers to the actual process of the arif. Yimachayim is still alive. Adayin l'kipra sfeikas. It didn't yet atone for the suffix. So clearly, we have to go with the simple wording of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah just simply means before arifa versus after arifa. Because before arifa, there's no Isser yet, so if it was discovered to be unneeded, send it back to the farm. As opposed to after Arifa, it's too late, it had the Isser. That's a right to Rava. And the Isser only happens after Arifa. Tanoihi, right, it's a Machlokes Tanoim. Some hold, the Isser gets activated only by the Arifa, as per the Mishnah we just quoted, versus others who hold, the Isser applies way back, as soon as it's delivered to the location of the Arifa. The Tanoi Rabbi Shmuel, he learns like this. We have an interesting equation here, interesting correlation. Nemar machshu u'mechaper b'fnim. We find two types, two categories of karbonis that are processed in the Beis Hamikdash. Something called a mechaper, it's a standard, you know, chatos in the Asham. We have a machshu, an abler, something that would say that the Nazir, the Asham Mitzoyer, right? He brings it to accomplish, you know, purification. That's called a machshu, to open the door back to the community, to the karbonis. We have two types of karbonis. Likewise, you find a similar setup outside the Beis HaMikdash. For Nemar Machshir, we find Machshir outside. Rashi says the birds of the Metzoyro is, again, to enable him purity. U'machaper, we have Machaper Bachutz as well. Where is that? Rashi says we have the Egla Rufo, which the Pasuk refers to as a Machaper. Kaper Lamchu Yisrael, V'nechaper Lam Adam. And we have the Sarah Mishtaleach, right? The goats that's thrown off the cliff in Yom Kippur, it's a Machaper. So we find two types of karbonis that are processed outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'nemar, we make a connection. Just like the ones that are inside the Beis HaMikdash, they're treated equally, whether it's a machshir or a machaper. They have a similar process, you know, same type of akrova. Everything's pretty much the same. Likewise, the ones on the outside, no distinction. Ma machshir machaper, just like the ones inside, osaboy. The Torah treated the machshir just like kimachaper with all the halachis. Af machshir, machaper b'chutz, likewise. The ones that are outside, the machshir, like the birds of the Metzor, or machaper, like the Egla Rufo, or like the Sarim Shtaleach, ha'omer b'chutz, which is processed outside the Beit HaMikdash, also machshir kimachaper. We treat the machshir like the machaper. And therefore, the birds of the Metzora become Asr even during their lifetime because we treat them like the Egla Rufa, which likewise is Asr Meichaim. Ask Rashi, but how do we know that? The answer is there's another link to the derivation. We connect the Egla Rufa to Sarim Shtaleach, which Rashi says is obviously going to be Asr Meichaim because, like a carbon, you designate it as a Sarim Shtaleach and it becomes Kaddish. So that's the starting point, so to speak. So once we know that's Asr Meichaim, we carry that over to the Egla Rufa, and by extension to the Tzipora Metzora. Okay, so when does the Egla Rufa become Asur Bahno? Machlekes. Some say Mechaim, once it gets to the Nachal Esan, some say only at the Arifa. Back to Hashem Tali, says the Mishnah Belezo Eimer. Does one have to wait until he encounters an uncertainty of whether he ate, you know, Chalev, in order to trigger the Hashem Tali process? No, he can just donate it. At will, whenever you want. Whenever you wish to bring Hashem Tali, just in case, maybe, cover all the bases, you can do it anytime you want. Who are you, Nikra Hashem Chasid? In fact, they had a special name, the Hashem of the righteous, or the Tzadikim, who want to make sure their slate is clean, they're always fully connected to Hashem. Amar Ol, in fact, was said upon Al-Bava ben Buta, the following was said about him, Shayim Misnadav Hashem Tali B'chol Yom. He's to bring Hashem Tali B'chol every day, B'chol Yom, except Chutz Me'achem Kippurim, except one day after Yom Kippur. Why? Yom Echad. Why? Omar, he says, really, I would have done it. Hamon Hazeh made an oath in the name of the Shechina, of the Beis Hamikdash. He says, you know what? If it's up to me, I bring it even today. But they didn't let me. Ilo Yomeichin Li, if they would just let me, how you see, maybe I would bring it even today. Lo Emeli, but they would tell me, this is another Shita, another opinion, which is sort of in the middle. And in between Shita, you have to have some ground, some basis of uncertainty. You can't just bring it today. You just had a full day of Mechil yesterday. Your slate is clean. Wait a day. Hampton, wait actually to Kanis until you enter the realm of uncertainty. Lebes HaSaf. You have to wait a day. So far we have two Shitas. Rav Elazar says, bring it anytime you want, even Matzah Yom Kippur. Then there's Amrulai, which is another version of Rav Elazar. You have to have some inkling of uncertainty. No, there's a very fixed, absolute trigger point for the Hashem Tali. Ein mevi'in Hashem Tali el al shos doinei kores v'shigigotei chatas. As we have been learning until now, that Hashem Tali is only on account of an uncertainty with respect to a very severe possible violation, something which, if done intentionally, triggers kares, by mistake chatas, if you're not sure, and Hashem Tali. That's the shita of Chacham Mani. It's a bottom line three shitas. Chacham say, kares chatas equation generates the Hashem Tali. Rav Elazar says, donate it whenever you want. Amruloi says, yeah, but with some element of uncertainty. Now what happens if a person passed through Yom Kippur? What happens to his carbon obligations? We know Yom Kippur triggers an all-encompassing atonement. If Nei Hashem Titaru, we get so elevated that everything gets cleaned out. What about if we have a chiv of carbon? What if a person ate chalev? What if he's not sure? What happens to all those? A person is obligated to bring a chatos, a regular chatos, or an asham vaday. Shavar alein Yom Kippur, who have experienced Yom Kippur. So true, the person gets kapara, but the carbon obligation remains intact. He's still built for the carbon. Chayav and lahavi lachem Yom Kippur. But chayav yasham astliyin pturin. But if it's a question of uncertainty, whether he discovered that uncertainty before or even after Yom Kippur. If it's, in essence, a suffix, which would trigger an Hashem Tali, that's a personal atonement, just in case, Yom Kippur takes care of that. In fact, Misha Babi Yadi, suffix Aver B'Yom Kippur, if you encountered a suffix Aver on Yom Kippur itself, Afilim Chashech, even towards evening, Potter is exempt from the Hashem Tali, because Shekol HaYom Mechaper, every section of Yom Kippur has the power of atonement for the Hashem Tali situation. However, a woman who's unsure whether she had a legal birth, whether she has to bring the chatas alayv, she does it misafik, and she experienced Yom Kippur. Is it treated the same like Hashem Tali? No. Vavar alayim kippur, she has to bring it. Why? Because this isn't really technically an atonement. It's an enabler. It's a machsher. It's a purifier. It opens the door for karbanis, or access to karban. It's a different type of karban that has to be done even if Yom Kippur. Further on this topic, Chatas Oif HaBal HaSafik. Let's say the woman is bringing the Chatas Oif on account of the uncertain Leida. Let's say she discovers the fact after the Malika, the beheading of the bird, took place. It's too late to cover. You have to bury it. Because you're already en route, mid-process, even though it turns out to be unneeded. My time to Belez. So Belez holds, Moshem Tali could just be volunteered and donated. Why? Look, if it's really an obligatory process, how could that be so? Because we know a person who's not sure brings Hashem Tali. Let's say a day later he reviews the footage and he says, oh, I ate chalev. He has to bring a chatas. So the fact that he brought Hashem Tali does not exempt him from any future liabilities. So then how could you say Hashem Tali is an obligatory karban? If it's obligatory, then he fulfilled his obligation. Done. File closed. Apparently it's not so. It addresses an element of personal accountability, but doesn't really cover him. It's just a donation. It's a volunteer act. When he discovers the true facts, why does he have to bring another chatas? Apparently it's a nadava. So even when you bring it, it has an element of volunteerism to it. It exudes favor with Hashem. It is considered like a sort of like a gift, temporary gift. Rabbanon respond by saying no. Don't extrapolate from there that the essence of the Hashem Tali is really a gift which you could really donate whenever you want, even if there's no basis for uncertainty or sin. No. That's specific to Oyla Vishlam. Yes, Oyla Vishlam would also be an Adava. Those can be donated. But Chatas Vashem Chayvininu. But Chatas Vashem are obligatory karbanos. Now, as to your question, Vashem told you how many times the Maisi, Mekamad the Messiatale. So, why then does a person bring an Vashem Tali? Why is he obligated to bring a karban now if in a day's time he's going to have to bring another karban? The answer is, it's a temporary atonement. It's such a concept. Lahagin Olav, to protect him from retribution, which may be due to him because, you know, if he ate that chelav, that Torah chasa al guvon shel Yisrael, Torah is concerned about the guf of a yid. So Torah gives him that opportunity to protect himself in the meantime until he discovers the facts. Maybe it's both. Why one or the other? Maybe Hashem Tali is similar to Elav Shlomo, which really has both expressions. It could be a donated carbon, which is more typical, but there's also an obligatory Elav Shlomo. Rashi says on Yom Tov, bring Elav Shriya Shal Mechagi. So maybe Hashem Tali has both potentials. Ma Elav Shlomo de Oso B'Chayv. It's like Elav Shlomo can come both ways. Chayv and Adav. Hashem Tali Nami. Perhaps Hashem Tali, standard is Chayv. You encounter the Safi, you gotta bring it. But maybe you could just donate it as well. Maybe it has two variations. Amalisi says no. That's true by the Olav Shlam, because Ikra ben Adav Ksivi, primarily, the Torah refers to it as an Adav, that's the beginning of Vayikra there. It's primarily an Adav. Sure, there are some, you know, sub variations, you know, secondary formats which are considered chayva, but it's primarily a nedava. But Hashem Tali is just the opposite. Ikar b'chayva ksiv. The Torah refers to it as something obligatory, and we can't just sort of invent a new variation of Hashem Tali. Tani Rabbi Chiya kamei de Rava. He presented a brisa to Rava Chidush. He says, look, Hashem Tali b'al nevela. A person is not sure if he ate an avela, which is merely an Isra lav. It's not Kares related. He's not sure because Hashem Tali. Amar Lacy says, what do you mean? But not tonight. We have a Mishnah. Chacham Omrim. No. It needs to be a Kares, you know, Chatas. Dilemma. Chacham Omrim. Eina maybe Hashem Tali. El al Dabash has done a Kares, which goes to Chatas. So this can't be following the Rabbanon. Virabelezer. Okay, so maybe it's Rabbelezer speaking. But a Dabash Ami Ais. You don't need a encounter a Suffolk Nevela. He can just bring it out of the blue if he wants. So this linkage between Suffolk Nevela and Hashem Tali, who's it going like? Amar Leisi, he responded, he says, my time relay masness, why haven't you learned properly? Zimnan Sagin, Tanisa Kameimar. You know, many times I had presented this prize to the Rebbe, the great man. Who's the great man? Umanoi, that's Rabbah. Amar Leisi told me, I'll explain to you what's going on. Amar Leisi, Belezerhi. This is the other version of Rabbelezer in the mission, the in-between Shita, the Amrulai, the Rabbelezer, the Amrulai, their opinion there, that it has to have some inkling of sin. This nun, Elohimulai, they told him, Hamtin, wait for another day after Yom Kippash, until you have some element of uncertainties here as well. You have to have some inkling of possible sins, at least Safik Nevela, and then it's justified. Amr of my time at the Amrulai. How do you explain this middle Shita? That even, you know, Hashem Tali can even be triggered by another type of possible violation, even a lav. Amakra, look at the pasuk in discussing Hashem Tali. Ashaloyte Asena. Belo Yadava Hashem. Ashaloyte Asena means he should not have done this, which refers to any love, which should not have been done, and that justifies Nashim Tali. So although again he's not obligated, but he can bring it for that as well. Amar of my time with Rabbanon. Now what about the Rabbanon? Why do they say the Amri Ein Rabbi Mashem Tali El Dover Shez Adonai Kores Vishugosik Chatas? Why does it have to be Kores Chatas and nothing else? Ya'alfi mitzvahs mechatas chelav. Because there is Shav. It says mitzvahs over here. It says mitzvahs by the regular chatas upon eating chelav. And we connect. Ma'ala halan, just like over there. It entails Kores Chatas. Shezdarei Kores Vishugosik Chatas. Afkan here as well. We're talking Dover, a matter Shezdarei Kores Vishugosik Chatas. And only then, if it's something which, if intentional, triggers Kores, unintentional triggers Chatas, if it's uncertain, it's Nashim Tali. Tana Rabba. Interesting, Braisa. Chamisha Ashamis Mechapen. There are five types of ashams. Rashi enumerates it for us. Asham gzeilos, if he steals and swears falsely. Umi'ilos, right? That's from the Hegdash of Charuf of Nazir Metzor. Five types of regular ashams. Asham vadai. They are mechapen. Asham tovi ain't mechaper. Kaber gmura. But the Asham tovi does not do a complete atonement. I come up. What does the Braisa mean to say? This contrast between Amar Visach Amar. The Braisa means like this. Chamisha ashamis mechapen kaber gmura. The five standard make a full atonement. V'asham tovi not. Ein mechaper kaber gmura. He doesn't do a complete atonement, as Rashi explains, because once he discovers that he ate the chelav, he must bring another chantas. Ude like Rebeleza, but it's not going like Rebeleza. The Amor told us, Asham Toli Ba Nevela, you can bring Asham Toli for Nevela as well, in which case it would accomplish a complete atonement. So we have a variation of Asham Toli does do a complete atonement. Apparently this Braisa is not going like that Shita. This Braisa is telling us Asham Toli does not have that potential. Rabbi Amar, a different shot in the Braisa. You tell me the Braisa means like this. Chamisha Ashams. Regarding the five standard Ashams, there's no alternate route. There's no substitute for the Asham to receive the atonement. Ein Achar. There's no other means to be Machapah Kaparosin. Meaning, Techim Esiadalei, Rashi explains, meaning Yom Kippur will not address it. If he finds out, you know, after Yom Kippur, he's got to bring the Asham, despite having experienced the purity of Yom Kippur. As per the Mishnah, that Yom Kippur does not address definite carbon obligations. Once he discovers the fact, he's got to bring the Asham. However, the Asham Talui is not so. There's something else that can do the job. Yom Kippur. Because if he finds out that he encountered a suffix situation, whether after Yom Kippur or or before Yom Kippur as well. Right? Why Maisi? So once he experienced Yom Kippur, he's done, because it's not as we had in the Mishnah. Chayev HaChatos V'Hashem Asvadoin. Regarding the regular Chatos V'Hashem, Sh'obar Aleim Kippur, after Yom Kippur, Chayev L'Havi, they have to still bring it. But Chayev L'Havi, Achay Yom Kippur. However, Chayev HaShem Asvadoin. In that case, Yom Kippur takes care of it, and they are Pitur. Now for the sources. Chayavi chatois v'ashom asvadoin v'chulu, Yom Kippur does not address it. Okay, so let's recap the Mishnah. Ketani, the Mishnah explained that in contrast to chayavi chatois v'ashom asvadoin, when there's a definite chiyav, sh'avar aleinu kippur, these people experience Yom Kippur chayav and lahavi, la'achar, Yom Kippur is left to bring that carbon after Yom Kippur. But by the chayavi ashom is telui, and those are chayav v'ashom telui, p'turin, once they experience Yom Kippur, they're exempt. But not really, how do we know this difference between the two? Kiyasa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, he quoted Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Chanina. Amar quoted the pasuk regarding the Chatas HaPnimi, the sword that's processed inside the Eichel Kadosh HaKadoshim, speaks about its atonement coverage. Amar Kro, V'chipar Al HaKadosh, M'tumais Me'Yisrael, M'Bishayim L'chol Chatoisim. It covers the Tumah encounters in Beis HaMikdash. And the pasuk refers to two types of infractions, chet, which is unintentional, and pesha, which is intentional. So the pasuk, by making this double reference, is comparing the two. You should know that the chatas will only atone for a type of chet which has similar characteristics to the pesha. So just like a pesha is not eligible for carbon, an intentional sin doesn't generate a carbon for the most part. Likewise, the chet that we speak here is of a similar property that is not something which had activated a carbon obligation. Only that is something that could be atoned for in Yom Kippur. Chataim dumi d'pshayim l'chet. The chataim similar to the pshayim, ma pshayim labnei carbon, just like the pshayim are not eligible for carbon. Af chataim likewise, the chataim discussed here the labnei carbon are without a carbon obligation. That is mechaper. That the carbon could be mechaper on. Ava chataim nei carbon loy mechaper, but it cannot be mechaper on something which already has a carbon attached to it. Hence, we know that those that are obligated to bring a chatas v'ashem cannot be addressed for by Yom Kippur. Amalei Abai says, Abai, you're right, but what's the context of this pasuk? V'akiksiv hadin kro. Look, this pasuk is talking about besoyer nasa b'fnim b'duchsiv. It's the chatas that's processed inside, which to begin with had a more limited scope of coverage. Lo mechaper al averus the mitzvah yidu. It doesn't cover averus where the fellow was aware before he entered the Samidlash Betuma, the whole discussion of Sechah Shvuis, it doesn't cover all cases. So perhaps, yeah, to begin with, it's limited, so that's why it doesn't cover everything. Aval, but let's say the Sorem Shtalayach, the goat that's sent off the cliff, which has a much broader range of coverage. The Mechaber covers pretty much everything. Al Averus the Mitzvah Yadua covers even Avera, which he knew about, he knew that he was Tamei before he entered the before he entered the Migdash, then he forgot, whatever, it covers much more. So perhaps Emelach, I can suggest, Afilu al Chatoim Dibnei Carbon in the Mechaber, will cover even Averas which have a carbon attached to them already. So again, how do we know Yom Kippur cannot address carbon related sins? Elam Rabbi Mecha, bring the Pasuk. The Pasuk which speaks about the Shar Mishtaleach, actually. Yisvad Olav Eskal Avoynes Bnei Yisrael. It's called Pish'im, Chochatoisa. He's going to confess about the Avoynes, the Pshaim, the Chatoim. Once again, we have a reference to Pesha and Chet in the same breath, which allows for that connection. Chatoim, which are Dumya, the Pshaim, only those will be addressed by the Sohar Mishtaleach. Ma Pshaim, the Labnei Karbon, Av Chatoim, Labnei Karbon, only those that are without a carbon attached, Av Chatoim, Nei Karbon Inu, but those that have a carbon attached, Loi Mechabre, cannot atone for them. Umeyate, Kro, Besar Mishtaleach. Torah here is excluding these from the Sarmish Telech covers to teach us, Lememra, Dal Chatoid, Nekar Beninu, Lemechaper, it cannot atone for averas that have a carbon attached to them. Amalei Rav Dimi, you're assuming that the Pesha is something without a carbon, and likewise the Chet is without a carbon. But guess what? There are some Peshaim that are eligible for carbon. We had this a while ago. Some cases, four in total, who bring a carbon even if it's an intentional sin. I know they are exceptions to the rule, but they exist. What makes us think that the pshayim in the pasuk are those without a carbon, which triggers this whole, you know, connection between the chet to the pesha to teach that only without a carbon? Perhaps the Pesha discussed here is those with a carbon, because it's not. We have Arba, Mevi'in, Allah, Zod, and Shigo, four individuals, four situations are eligible for a carbon, even if it's made, just like if it would be a Shayim. So basically, he's challenging this Limud, Itmanami. You find likewise that Ravan also presented a similar source, Itmanami, Kesar Ravan, Amar Yasi, Amar Shlokish, based on this very same Pasuk. So we see the atonement only addresses chatoim, which are similar to the pshayim. Again, ma pshayim labnei carbon mechap, just like it only addresses pshayim which are not attached to a carbon, because a pecha typically does not trigger a carbon. Af chatoim, likewise, the chatoim are specific to those without a carbon. Lav ne carbon mechaper. Avol chatoim ne carbon, but if it has a carbon attached, lo mechaper, won't address it. Amar. The Abaye says, this is old news. I went through this already. Anonami maden kro amri. I already came from this pasuk, and I was challenged. Actually, Rav Dimi asked me, "How do you know that your starting point is correct?" Dani pshayim delavni carbon. And who says the pshayim referred to here are without the carbon? Do ma'anach me carbon? Perhaps they are the ones with the carbon. It's not as we learned our bomb in Az Danishkaga. Only Rav says, "Look, Rav pshayim delavni carbon. Yeah, there are some exceptions, but for the most part, a pesha does not trigger a carbon." We saw the pasuk was referring to that. Amali, so he says, well, the pasuk doesn't say majority, it says pesha. And if there's some instance that a pesha triggers a carbon, so what right do we have to say that a pesha is carbon free? Amali, midi, the pasuk says most. Elon Abaye. Let me explain this further. Mireisha Lekra. Let's backtrack to the beginning of that pasuk. We'll find an extra expression in the pasuk to teach us this very fact. That Yom Kippur will only address carbon-free sins. It starts with Zvad Olav, Eskalav Voinais, which is a purposeful sin. Bnei Yisrael Vatanya. We have a brisa which explains that Avoinais means it was Dainais. Intentional. Chenu Aimos, we find the pasuk Avoinais Ba, that's by the Avodah Zarah, which is a mezid over there. So Avoin means mezid. And then we have again, verse called Psha'im, which again means mezid. Verse called Psha'im Chachatais. Lomuli, what's the extra expression in the pasuk? Why repeat it twice? Oh! If only to teach us this point. Akshuyi, to connect. The Chataim, Lipshaim, to teach us that we're talking about standard Psha'im, which are carbon free. Likewise, the Chatas is carbon free. Only that could be atoned for through Yom Kippur. Hence, we learn that Hashem Tali, yes. As we're going to see tomorrow's daf, that could be taken care of by Yom Kippur, but a chet which has a carbon attached to it, the carbon is still active. Ma'ap shom labne carbon, just like the pesha is without a carbon, af chatoim labne carbon, aval bad if it's chatoim ne carbon in it, if he's already chayiv, a chatas or an asham, even though he experienced Yom Kippur, he gets some personal atonement, but the carbon obligation is still outstanding loy machab. Okay, let's recap today's daf. The Egla Rufa becomes Asur Ba'ano at what point? Some say through the Arifa, some say through delivery to the Nachal Esan, turned out to be Nachalekas Tanoim. We have three sheetahs in terms of what triggers Ashim Tali. Is it just donation? Is it something which is a Chatas Kareis experience? So in uncertainty there is an Ashim Tali, and there's a middle approach which is there needs to be some element of you know, uncertainty, some possible sin, such as the Sefik Nevela, etc. Yom Kippur atones for pretty much everything, unless it's a Chiyuv Karbon, like a Chatas Vashem Vade, but it does take care of Hashem Tali. And again, it does not address Machshirim, like the Karbon of the Yoledes, which is a Machshir, and still would still be outstanding after Yom Kippur. Okay, all the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.